Turn in your Bibles, Genesis chapter 3, Genesis chapter 3, and Matthew chapter 4. Genesis chapter 3, and Matthew chapter 4. I have been working on this for several months. And looking at the schedule and different events have led me to decide to begin this tonight. I love this topic. Anytime we talk about the Word of God, it thrills my heart. And you should love your Bible, and you should love the Word of God. I have prayed diligently to have the right attitude and to have the right tone and to have the right presentation. And I spent time this afternoon on my face before God begging Him to help me present this in such a way that to be a help to us collectively. Long time, this institution, this church, has held a position from talking with different people, having preached from the King James Bible, not necessarily having a position of using only the King James Bible, but one that it just has been. And I want to, tonight and over the next couple of nights, Sundays, to look at why. Why do we need to have that position? Why does it make sense? Why is it the right way? And so I pray that, and we're going to pray in just a minute. I'm just asking God to help. I don't want to sound like a know-it-all. I don't know it all. I have spent years of study on this particular topic. Everybody has hobbies. One of my hobbies has been over the last probably 15 years, this issue, because it's not something new, but something that has just stirred my soul, over the years. And so, I want us together to learn tonight and to study this. Genesis, and by the way, I am not much into multimedia, and in a minute, George is going to turn that on. I'm not much into multimedia, but for this, I put some PowerPoint presentations together, and we'll try to get through this. Genesis chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. Now the serpent, who's that? The devil, Satan. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said. Yea, hath God said. Right there in that whole phrase, just without even going anything further, you can read into that the fact that there's a question mark, Genesis chapter 3, on the credibility, the character, the nature, and the testimony of God. Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, ye may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it. And then she added, neither shall ye touch it. Now we've got God's word. From the foundation of the world, before God spoke, this book, the contents of it was established in heaven. So we were told everything we needed to be told. And nowhere in the first two chapters does it say that God told Adam, don't touch that tree. He told Adam, don't eat of that tree. And so we have this added aspect. neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that at that very instant in time, the devil, the serpent, Satan, just called God a liar. And he's been doing it from before that, and he's doing it today. Verse 5. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, the tree to be desirous to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Turn over with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. Excuse me. Beginning in verse 1. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he, speaking of Jesus, answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And that's given to us in Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 3. By every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So I don't know about you, but I want to make sure I have an every word Bible. And hopefully after the next few studies, we will see that we have that very thing and we can be confident of it. Let's pray. Father, Lord, again, I beg you, hide me behind the cross. Lord, I'm merely your vessel. And Lord, as I prayed earlier, as Moses confessed that he was ill-equipped and unable and not a good orator at all, that you said, don't worry about it. I'll give you the words that you need to say. Lord, would you allow the Holy Spirit to speak through me tonight, to share the truth of your word here tonight, to give us confidence in your word here tonight. Lord, would you have your will and way in our midst? I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Where to begin? Part of me wants us to understand, and that's why I think it's taken so long, because as you can see perhaps over here, there's a few things that have been written on the topic. Where do you draw the line? Where is it too much? Is there such a thing as too much? And so I wish there was a way that I could take what I've read and learned over the years and just transport that into your minds, but it doesn't work that way. And so it's got to be something that's taught. It's got to be something that's explained. And hopefully I will do that tonight and over the next few nights that we talk about this. We have John Doe, who was saved September 3rd. He's 24 years old. Not raised in a God-fearing home, and only heard the Bible read at occasional funerals and weddings. John's now excited about knowing God and is eager to begin the discipleship program with the family that led him to Christ. So, on Tuesday afternoon, John visits a Christian bookstore to purchase his first Bible. There he's faced with the dilemma. The dilemma, as he gazes down at the length of the entire back wall of various Bibles, he wonders for the first time, why are there so many translations of the same book? Does it even really matter which Bible I use? George, if you would, you can go ahead and put that up there. The first page. And this is just our topic. Which Bible is God's Word? Does it matter? In an article by the New York Times, a very, very prestigious Christian organization, wouldn't you say? The New York Times. The writer addressed this multiplicity of Bible translations. Quote, "There are now several hundred versions of the Bible catering to every niche of reader, from Bibles for runners and study books for teenagers to devotionals for mothers and couples, boys and girls. There's everything out there under the sun. Somehow all these varying translations are claiming to be an accurate rendering of the same book, and thus present the same doctrine, the same truths, only in a different vocabulary to a different audience. The declared purpose for the majority of these translations is to present a quote unquote readable and quote unquote user-friendly translation for the people. Somehow the plea is offered that this is the same purpose that Luther had and Tyndale and other men who have been instrumental in giving their generations a readable Bible." Let me ask you a question tonight. How many know what the word plethora is? How many know what the word plethora means? If you know what the word plethora means, stand up. We need to kind of get an idea here. Because hands I can't see. If you think you know what the word plethora means, stand up. Somebody want to tell me what they think plethora means? Jeff? Okay, somebody else? A lot? What is your... Lynn, what do you think? Various? Many? Okay. Thank you. Thank you. You may be seated. A plethora actually means the state of being too full, an overabundance or excess. All right, let me ask you a question. Another one. How many know what the word requite means? If you know what the word requite means, stand up. Requite. You know what it means, don't you? You don't remember. Okay, good. All right, so let me ask you, okay, requite. By the way, it's in the Bible. Requite means to repay or return good or evil to a person, to render equivalent return, as to requite one for favors, to make a fit return for. That means to requite. And in the way the scripture talks about it is that we as children are to requite our parents. We're to repay our parents back. All right, let me ask you another question. How many know what the word reparation means? Reparation. If you know, stand. Reparation. If you're gutsy enough, I saw a hand. Reparation. Nobody knows reparation. Okay? The word reparation means the act of repairing a mistake, a wrong, an injury, or the like, as he made reparation for his neglect, that which is done by way of amends. Atonement. Interesting word. Atonement. Indemnity, compensation. You say, Pastor, what in the world does this have to do with Bible study? Well, what if you were reading and you didn't know what one of these words that we just saw that some of us didn't know meant? What would you have to do? Look it up where? In a dictionary. So why is the excuse made, well, man, the King James Bible is so difficult to understand. There's all these words we don't know. Well, if you're reading a book, if you're reading a newspaper article, if you're reading a magazine, you may not know those words. So you may actually have to break down, open a dictionary, and look them up. So once you know what plethora means, requite, reparation, or any number of other words, you've just done what to your vocabulary? You've enlarged your vocabulary and now you know what those words mean. guess what? When you and I are reading our Bible, there may be things that you don't understand or words that you may not know. And so you may have to look them up. So whether it's a newspaper, a book, a magazine, your Bible, if you don't know the meaning of the word, we simply look it up in a dictionary to find its meaning. We don't call the newspaper or the magazine company and tell them to stop using words we don't know. We look up the words and learn their meanings, hence our vocabulary grows. And that's what allows us to use and know more words as we communicate. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Do we in society, do we call the newspaper and magazines and say, hey, you're using too big of words. Stop. Interesting enough, Lawrence Vance wrote a book, Archaic Words and the Authorized Version. And this is an incredible book. It's a tool, by the way. This isn't something you would sit down and read. Trust me, you would not read this book. This is like a dictionary. And so you look up a word, like for instance, mitre. Scripture, you've heard the term mitre used, for instance. And thou shalt put the mitre upon his head and put the holy crown upon the mitre. Exodus 29:6. And you say, what in the world is a mitre? I know what a mitre is. That's that little box you have with a saw and it allows you. So I can't picture one on a guy's head. A mitre is mentioned 13 times in the Authorized Version. The word is from the French, mitre, a cap. A mitre is a cap, headband, turban, headdress, or other type of ceremonial headwear, normally part of religious attire. Our modern versions have unanimously altered mitre to turban in every instance. But when the Authorized just says hats, the New King James and the NIV still change it to turban. Mitre cannot be the archaic since one can still see a mitre today on the head of every pope in the 20th century. This book is just an incredible, and it goes all the way through, all the alphabet, all the way to Z. And then it says archaic words in contemporary publications. And it lists several pages, columns of words like amalgam, altruism. Some of them I can't even pronounce. Contagion, devolutionist, disingenuous. I mean, felicities. Boy, that's the last one. The only time you know a felicity is some girl's name. Iconclass. Jejune, J-E-J-U-N-E. Yeah, I've seen that a lot. And so there's all these different ones, and they list the paper or the magazine. This was found in the Weekly Standard, October 9th, 1995, page 41. I mean, so there's all these quote-unquote archaic words, the Authorized Archaic Words in Contemporary Publications, and it lists publication after publication after publication, listing the words that are found in the King James Bible who people complain about as being archaic, like American Forests. The magazine and or newspaper, whatever, used the word canker. The American Heritage used the word bewitched. Car and